Hey everyone, I am Reva and just want to take a moment and thank you for listening to our studio podcast. Although we are here in Greenville, South Carolina, we are grateful for your support to see the message of Jesus go out all over the world. In case you are not aware, we have a YouTube channel, which you can find the link in our podcast bio. We hope you enjoy this week's talk and it encourages you and it helps you to be the human God designed you to be. So with that, let's get right to it.
Before I get into the talk today, I want to take a moment and share an exciting new development that's taking place for Studio. And for those of you that have been a part of us for any length of time, you know that we don't just have a vision just for what we're doing in this room and each other's lives in our home. That's vital, important to us. It's foundational. It's essential. It's instrumental. But one of the things that we have always dreamt about is how do we actually impact a city, impact a region? And oftentimes when we think about impacting a region or a city, we think of stuff that fits in the categories of outreaches and helping. And we're doing that with thanks to Jess Mullen. We're a kindness department. We've got a bunch of, yeah, give it up for Jess. And the Poe Mill skate park cleanup got canceled because the weather kind of went sour on us. So we're gonna redo that soon. But we're doing all kinds of stuff in very practical ways. But there's also another way that we can impact a city and a community is providing opportunities for entrepreneurial incubators. And there's things that we've done. We did Founders and Creators a couple years ago. A couple businesses came out of that 8-week course that Stephen Gillum and CJ did for us. And we've done we did Inspire Conference. So many things are coming out from just creativity and entrepreneurship. And one of the things that we have dreamt about is a studio would actually become would host and create a market for the area, for the region. And when Jess Mullen came on our staff, if you don't know, she actually helped build and run the TR Farmers Market up in TR. So she's kind of the brainchild behind a lot of that. And so we're actually starting a market out of studio. It'll be held on the premise here. And it's not just for studio people. It is for the area. It's for the community. And it's called the Mill Street Market in Taylor's. And Jess is starting this. You're excited, aren't you? Like she's beaming with life. And our first one is going to take place October 25th. And do we have maybe at the end we'll put up the slide for you, but it's on the TVs out front. And we are also calling for vendors. If you are a vendor, one thing that we've done, the kids market just recently, and then our Christmas market, we've got some amazing entrepreneur vendors in this community alone. And so we're a vendor call for you if you want to be a participant in this first ever market for us. But we're actually calling out to all kinds of people in the area, farmers, makers, creators, and they're all participating. So get your name in the hat, and it's on our website. So that's just a shout out. And this is a part of our vision to create spaces for community to gather, to interact, and then it'll also be incubation for creativity, for making, as well as entrepreneurship. Isn't that pretty cool? So that's coming. And then how many appreciated the song our team wrote? Ben. I don't know where Ben went. Over here. And I forget who all else wrote. Reva pointed you out. That was awesome. I've been listening to it the last month when I got one of the early samples. And I'm so excited about the songwriting community here. And we have a lot more songs coming out of this house. And one of the things we always felt about studio is there's a sound coming out of studio. And so when you have a songwriting community beginning to write and beginning to create texture to theology, to create sound and sentences and word that just depict why we follow God and just our human experience. And I'm just so grateful. So thank you, Ben, and the team for writing that song. And I'm looking forward to the next gathering when we get to do it all over again. All right. Well, today I want to take some time to remind us who we are, what we are, and why we are. I want to take a moment to remind us who we are, what we are, and why we are. Because here's the reality is, when you get used to something, you kind of forget the substance of it. One of the things I'm telling myself right now is I just passed my 28th wedding anniversary with my wife, is I don't want to take lightly this relationship. And I hope I know my life had been aimed in that direction, but I'm really familiar with Candace. I know her really well, and yet I don't know her at all because she is a mystery in of herself. How many have ever heard of that book, What Men Know About Women? And you open it and all the pages are blank. So that's the beauty of being married or being in a relationship with the opposite gender is you get to go, man, there's such a mystery. And at the same time, I've been telling myself on this 28th wedding anniversary, do not ever take your wife for granted. Don't get too comfortable and familiar, which just becomes kind of normal. And I want to talk about studio. I want to talk about the church. I want to talk about that in the same vein of thought is I think sometimes we don't realize what we have. We don't realize the beauty of being able to gather freely. I was just in Montreal, as I mentioned, 0.8% of Quebec are Christians. Not 8%, 0.8%. And they're able to gather, but there's a lot of opposition. And I've done lots of traveling, as I've mentioned to you, but in Quebec, I would say, is one of the most secular environments I've ever been to in the world. And all I'm saying is, like, we don't realize what a gift it is to gather. What a gift is to gather in small settings, in our homes, in larger gatherings. And I just want to take a moment and just pause and for us to reflect on the beauty of what it means to be the church. What it means to be a gathering corporately, but what it means to be the church as an individual. Because sometimes I think we just kind of forget. We just kind of get into the routine. We wake up, we show up, and we do our thing and go home. But we don't take a moment to pause and reflect the beauty of what Jesus paid a price for so that we could do this, that we get to celebrate. We get to sing and write songs. We get to create. We get to do life with each other. We get to break bread together. We get to do all these things, and we get to grow and expand our perspective of what it means to follow God, what it means to be human in a crazy, wild world. And in the midst of that, we have something we can anchor ourselves into. And I just wanted to take a moment today to pause and reflect on that. And that's what we're going to talk about, because in this space alone, there's so many stories have already been written in this community alone in 4 years. I could probably sit up here and spend hours, and then Candace would come up and spend hours, and others of you would come up and spend hours just telling story after story of people's lives being impacted, whether it was for a moment or whether it took place over time. And I think it's important to celebrate and acknowledge what we have happening in this room, what we have happening in our lives in this community. I want to propose to you, this is sacred. When I've traveled to Europe, one of the things I love to do is go into old cathedrals. I've been in some of the most well-known, famous cathedrals, and it's kind of eerily quiet when you walk into these places. And now a lot of them are mostly just tourist attractions. You pay money to go look and walk around and see these buildings that have stood the test of time century after century. And every time I walk into a well-known cathedral, or one that is smaller and kind of remote and tucked away in Tuscany or tucked away in the back part of Rome or tucked away in Germany, all these cathedrals, when I walk into them, I remind myself, this was a sacred place for thousands of people. God met people in between these stone walls. They were looking to find out why they were alive, and they came into these beautiful stone cathedrals, and God met them there. So I love to sit in these pews, these old wooden pews, and thought someone was sitting here, and for the first time centuries ago, they met God. And guess what? This is our cathedral. With the insanely loud heating and air conditioning. We don't have stone walls, we got brick walls. And the best part about this cathedral is we've got steel posts running down the center of the room. That block views. Some of you, your necks are kinked by the end of the talk because you've been sitting like this the whole time. So one of the reasons why I move back and forth is to relieve your chiropractic medical expenses. But even in all of that, this is our sacred place. This is the place where we get to meet each week. This isn't all of studio, but this is a chunk of studio. This isn't the only thing we do, but it is an important part of what we do. This is the place where I look around different faces. Some of you have never met yet, and I hope to meet you. And others of you, we've been walking together a long time. And some of you, I've gotten to know you in the last 4 years. And all the different dimensions and depths of our relationship, I'm so keenly aware of seeing what God has done in your life. I can see it in your eyes. I met someone this last week that 1 year ago, such darkness over their eyes, such darkness over their soul, such just so dark. And I've met with him last week and was sitting at a table in downtown Greenville, and you can tell he's had an encounter with God. And I said, you look different. Your eyes are light. You have reason. You're back. You've got a long road of recovery, but guess what? That's what happens when God encounters people. I look around this room and I see some of the most unimaginable crisis happen. And then I see people in this room get around you so you don't walk it alone. It's happening as we speak right now. And then I look at others in this room and I've seen you've had this dream in your heart to start some business or start some organization. And you've told me, said, I've been thinking about this way too long. I'm going to do something about it. And one in particular, he's not here today, but been dreaming about this business for a long time. And because of Founders and Creators, our course that we did a couple of years ago, he just launched his business this week, and I happened to be the first customer. I said, I need this done, and they're doing it right now for me. They're building something for me. And yeah. And I said, how much? And he told me the price. I said, no, don't give me no discounts. I know I'm a church and a pastor. I'm looking for no discount. I value your work more than trying to save a few bucks. And he said, I was going to charge this, but I just couldn't get myself to say it. And I said, well, that's the price I'm paying you because that's what it's worth. And so I love looking around the room and just seeing, I love seeing what God's doing in you and all the different dimensions of life. Some of you are trying to figure out how to raise your crazy kids right now. And I'm looking at your kids going, yeah, they are crazy. They are a little, you are blessed with some special ones. But in all seriousness, I'm watching God teach you how to raise your kids. And I'm watching you be shaped and formed by a love of a father and the love of a mother that you didn't know you had. And you are willing to do whatever it takes to see these humans be raised to be meaningful, thoughtful, kind people that enter into society in this world. And so I just want to acknowledge what's happening because we forget sometimes. I think it's easy to focus on what's not happening or how come it's not this way and this way. And that we're humans. We're always going to pick apart everything. I wish it was this way. I wish it was that way. But I think it's important to reflect on what is because there's a lot to be thankful for. And I want to invite you into a different mindset today moving forward. And for some of you, this will be new. Some of you will be convicting. For some of you, be like, you're preaching to the choir. And I realize I'm talking to a gamut of people in this room. This last week, we took Misha and Odie. For those of you that don't know them, they were pastors from Switzerland. They spent an entire year with us here in studio. We're a part of our team. We invited them to all the leadership meetings, all the stuff we did, because they wanted to learn our culture, learn our values, because they took a year off, basically, and now they've headed back to Switzerland this last week. So our entire studio staff, we loaded up in two cars, drove up to Charlotte, kissed them goodbye. I didn't kiss them. Somebody probably did, but hugged them, high-fived them, and sent them on their way. And then we were like, "What? Let's go explore Charlotte." And so we drove around Charlotte, and we ended our time together as a team at a place called Restoration Hardware. And it's, exactly. I like that place. If money wasn't an issue, my entire house would look like Restoration Hardware. And there's this beautiful Restoration Hardware gallery, and on the very top, they've got this rooftop restaurant that had the glass ceiling. It's really fun. So if you've not been there, highly recommend it. And there's basically three floored, I don't know how many square feet this space is, at least 10,000 square feet of just showroom of all of their stuff. And it's really fun. So anyway, we ended our time up at the top in this little restaurant and we had already eaten lunch somewhere. Let's go get some desserts. And so we sit up there and we have two couches with kind of this table in between. Of course, it's all Restoration Hardware furniture. And we're sitting there and it's just beautiful and we're having a good time. And our waiter comes up and he, you know, kind of just, you know, nice, glad you guys are here. I'll be taking care of you today. And we, you know, get some water and get some drinks, and we're sitting down. And then he comes back, and he kind of had this look of the math ain't mathing. You know that look like, I can't quite figure out what's happening here. And I'm looking at him, and he kind of looks at us. He says, who are you guys? Like, what do you do? And I looked at him. I said, before I tell you what we do, what do you think we do? And he goes, I think you guys are like in TV, media, and video. And we're all like, yeah, I like this guy. You're hired. No. And I said, how come? Instead of telling him what we do, I said, well, why do you say that? And he said this line, could I can tell you all come from different backgrounds. We broke the mold in his mind. And then I told him what we did. And I said, well, we're a church staff. And his face changed just slightly. You know that look of huh and Somewhere in there, I was like, huh? I mean, it was just one of those looks. And I smiled because I'm used to that. You know, like once they know you're, you know, they straighten up, you know. And they regret everything they've said. It happens on the golf course all the time. Guys are cussing and swearing and telling me all kinds. And it honestly doesn't bother me. And then they're, so what do you do about the sixth hole? We've already been playing for an hour. I say, I'm a pastor. They're like, oh, no. You can tell they're just thinking about everything they said. Can I deviate for 1 second? No? Yes or no? I'm deviating. I'm going to come back to this. One time I was in Alaska. I don't know. I'm feeling like I'm just in a funny mood today. Winnie and Kennedy are at my house this week. Maybe that's what it is. The joy of having my grand dog with us right now. Yeah, I'm being silly. I was in Alaska, and it's a very funny long story. I'm not going to tell you the whole story. But I basically was asked to leave speaking at a conference. Let's just put it that way. Yeah, and I was the only speaker for 5 days. And we got 2 days in, and things went south really quick. And so that's a whole story I won't tell today, but I will someday. And so I have to hitch a ride from this camp to the closest little town and then get a ride from there to Anchorage, which is about an hour and a half, 2 hours away. And because my friend was running this camp, this youth camp, and he couldn't leave because the district, it was just a mess. It was just, and I didn't do anything wrong, to be honest with you. They just didn't like what I had to say about who we are to God. And I said, we're saints. We're not sinners. We were sinners, but we're not sinners anymore. And that just didn't go well. It didn't go well. And then everything I said was wrong, 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 wrong. So I had to find a way to get out of there. And my friend was so embarrassed. So I hitch a ride from a mom that was picking up her daughter to take her out of the camp because of what was going on. Awkward. I'm like, can you give me a ride? True story. So 15-minute ride to this little town. I'm like, thank you. And I get out. And this was back in the Yellow Pages. And I'm like, I got to find a ride. And there was Bob's Taxi Service. That was the name. So I called him up. Hey, can I get a ride to Anchorage? Yep, meet me at this grocery store. So I meet him at the grocery store. And an old Ford Expedition covered in mud and dirt. It looked like it had been in Alaska for a long time. And this very large man, and I meet him and thought, thanks so much. And he said, yeah, just throw your suitcase in the back. So I opened the back of his Expedition, and I don't know how to describe it, but he had so much dog food, bags and bags of dog food, packed to the roof of this back of this Expedition. Like, just, I'm like, how many dogs did this guy have? And I just shoved my suitcase on the top, and so I get in the car, and we spent an hour and a half driving. For the first hour, this guy is telling me how he's evaded the IRS for years, hasn't paid taxes. He's telling me all that he's done that's clearly illegal. That's the effect I have on people. They just open up. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm like decompressing from this interesting experience of being kicked out, essentially. And I'm listening to this guy, and we're driving an hour and a half, beautiful Alaska. And we get around this big mountain bend, and up in the valley, he goes, oh, yeah, I have a marijuana farm up there. This was before it was legal. So I'm like, this guy just on and on. And then about an hour in, about 15 minutes before I get to the airport, he goes, so what do you do? I said, I'm a pastor. He's like, he panicked. And I said, bro, don't worry about it. It's all good. You're fine. You're fine. So, wow, I'm deviated there. Yeah. I don't know why you're clapping, but thank you. What I want you to see, though, when this young man asks us what we do, and we didn't fit in any mold. It just didn't fit. And we actually, as a team, we were like, oh, that's beautiful, because we actually have a high value for kind of breaking molds, for kind of not fitting in and expectations. We want to be a unique group of people that believe in Revelation 7:9. All tribes, all tongues coming together because of him. That's the commonality. And so for us, it was deeply encouraging. And what I want you to understand, that's what studio represents. That's what studio is. And there's so much more to explore in that. We have in no means arrived, but I want to make sure we celebrate what is. Because if we celebrate what is, then we know we can move forward in that. We are a mosaic of people that are following and chasing after God. We care deeply about each other, and we care deeply about humanity and culture and cities and regions. We care about structures and systems that guide and govern our cities and our neighborhoods and organizations that we work in. We care deeply about that because we know there's another culture that wants to renew and restore all things. And that's what we're doing. That's what we believe in. That's what we're building here. And whether you've been here for a second or you've been here for years, I just want you to remind you, that's what we're doing. We're chasing after God together, and we care deeply about our walk with God, but we also care about all of humanity. I don't know if some of you might remember as a kid. Do you remember when you got the Cracker Jack box? Do they still make Cracker Jacks? I don't know if they do. Anyway, if you are unaware of Cracker Jack jar, it's basically a small box of caramel corn, but every Cracker Jack box had a little toy in it. Anybody remember this? And one of the most common toys you would get would be this little hologram card. Yeah. You pull it out, and it was a hologram card. And I love those because you could just change it from different angles, and you see something different. And I think that's a beautiful metaphor for studio. You can take studio, and you can go, oh, I didn't know. Oh, wow, this thing has got a whole lot going on as far as people and personalities and what we're dreaming about. But what's interesting about holograms are pointless without light. The only way light holograms actually work is if you apply light to it. And I think there's something there that's beautiful for us, is that God is our light. He is the one we're following. When his light shines on us, it reveals the depth and the beauty of what's possible and what is. Light just doesn't set you free. It illuminates. Now, for some of you, it's setting you free. Like God is exposing things in you. And this is another way God's grace shows up in your life. He exposes us. It's not punishment. It's not judgment. It's actually, hey, I care too much about you to live and be stuck in that thing. I want to shine some light into that part of your life and realize, oh, this is his invitation to move into the light. Not out of judgment or anything. No, he wants to illuminate you. And that's the beauty of a hologram. And I just want to say that's what we are, the church. The light shines on us in different parts of us. For some people, this is an oasis. This is just a watering hole. I just want to come and drink. I'm just thirsty. I'm dry. I'm hungry. Others of us, it's more like a hospital. Like I'm hurting. I got some wounds. And I've had many conversations with many of you. They've got some legitimate wounds. No matter how much is made up in your mind or not, it's just there. It's real. So some of us, this is the hospital. And then for others of us, it's like a physical therapist. Like I'm healed now, but that part of my body doesn't function the same way it used to. That part of my life is still kind of in. So the physical therapist, God is working on you and getting the body, the muscle, the tendon, all of it functioning again. And for others of us, this is a place to belong. You feel known here. And maybe you came because you want to be known. You want to belong. That's the beauty of the church. That's what the church provides. It's a place to belong. It's a place to be known. It's also, for some of us, it's a place to imagine and to create a new future. To begin to let God expand the way we think, expand the way we view him, expand the way we view humanity. Because we know we live in a complex time and human history, and for some of you coming to church or specifically studio is that. For others, it's a place where you can contribute and serve. And for others, it's a place where you can begin to hear the heartbeat of what God is dreaming about and what we're dreaming about. I want you to say this with me. This is our house. Say it again. This is our house. This is our culture. Thank you. Yes, thank you. Okay, that's it, period. Boom. And we, look at your neighbor and say, we get to take care of it together. This isn't Eric and Candace and Reba and Jeremy and Jess. No, this is we. This is, we get to take care of this. We get to participate in building what we believe God is building. And I want to remind you, this isn't just an hour and a half in your weekly schedule. No, this is something much deeper. It's much, much more meaningful than that. We get to build it together. We get to steward it together. A few years ago, my late grandma, who just passed last year, my dad's mom, and my Johnson side of my family is very large. We believe in reproduction. It's just something, populate the earth. And so when we have family gathering, there's like 70 plus people. I mean, it is a lot of food, a lot of organization. And this was a while ago. I think we were around 50 or 60 people at this time, cousins and grandkids and the whole thing. And Candace asked my grandma, she was kind of making this comment to my grandma, like, this is amazing. Look at this massive, beautiful family. It really is beautiful. It's crazy, but it's beautiful. And she's like, man, how did that happen? It's kind of like, she was kind of curious, like, this didn't just happen. It was intentional. My grandma replied with something like this: it's a lot of work. And it doesn't just happen. So there's something about being a part of something bigger than you. Like, it requires contribution. It requires effort. It requires you to take ownership of what is. And so my responsibility at Thanksgiving, until we moved out here, because we don't go back every year, was peeling potatoes. And so every Thanksgiving, I'd roll into the house, I'd grab the several big bags of potatoes, one of my uncles and a couple of my cousins, we sit down and just peel potatoes. And I just kind of made it a thing. Then who could do it the fastest and who did it the best? We did, of course, we turned into a competition. And I actually enjoyed peeling potatoes. We cut them in half and we start the process of mashed potatoes. And that's kind of one of the signature dishes from my grandma, is mashed potatoes. And they are good. Lots of insane amount of butter and an insane amount of cream and a great amount of salt. And so we make this mashed potatoes, and when we sit at the dinner table and we look across the dinner table, I'm looking at the people that are eating the mashed potatoes, and I go, I was a part of that. You see, there's something about being a part of something bigger than you. You can look around and go, ah, I helped do that. I helped build this. I might have put one brick in the wall, but guess what? I helped build the wall. And I want us today to take a pride and ownership of studio. I'm going to try this side. I want each and every one of us, no matter how deeply connected you are or lightly connected you are, if this is the place that you regularly come to and attend and you're a part of this community, I want you to take great pride and ownership of this house. Because it takes all of us to own this place and to treat it like it's our home. You can tell when it's not your home and when there's not much contribution. But when it's your home, you care about it deeply. And I look around this room, so many of you care so deeply about this place. I'm going to speed up a little bit here. I have found in my own house, like yard work, I love it and I hate it. I do yard work, and we have a big yard. And so it's 3 to 6 hours every week just mowing wheat. And so whenever I'm out there doing the yard work, it's hot, you know, humid and hot. And there's World War III of emotions going on in my head. Like, I'm mad, I'm angry, I'm like agitated, and I'm just like putting music on podcast just to distract my mind. It's a battle. And I'll spend 3 hours out there and I'm exhausted. And then when I get done, I'm like, Candace, let me show you what I did. Come outside. Are you not entertained? I do. I'm angry for 3 hours, but when I'm done, I'm like, I did this. I said, look at these lines. Can you see how those mowing lines are just perfect? One time I mowed it, and we had a team over for dinner, and Jeremy Gunn goes, wow, those lines are nice. I'm like, I know. I did that. Why? Because it's ownership. And taking pride in what I put our hands to. And I want to pull you into a deeper calling and essence of what it means to be a church, to be a community. And so our contribution, however that is, however small it is, however big it is, I want you in your heart to take great pride and ownership. And when you come into this space, you own it and you can tell. And we also know it's not just about serving with our time, it's also serving with our giving, that we give with joy. That we aren't just giving because someone told us to, that God actually loves and looks for a cheerful giver. And I can confidently say this. The way the kingdom moves forward when we participate in generosity of our time and generosity with our finances and our resources. There is no other way the kingdom advances. When God wants to move on the earth, he is calling people to be generous with their time, generous with their heart, generous with their finances, to be generous. You'll notice that we talk a lot about generosity around here. It's intentional. It's on purpose. Because moving and seeing God move in the earth, generosity is required for that. Because he is the most generous. He wants that from us. And what's interesting is generosity is often in two categories, obedience or privilege. And for some, it's obedience. And that's good. Because sometimes we just need, what am I supposed to do? I'm going to do it. But I believe obedience is the lowest form of relationship. It's an important part of relationship. But when your generosity moves out of, I just have to because I'm told to do this, and I mean time, I mean finances, I mean resources, I mean just your essence of who you are. When it moves out of just being obedient and it moves into opportunity, and this is the privilege, I get to be a part of this, a whole different part of you come to the table. And I want to encourage us today, whether it's our time, our finances, our resources, whatever it is, this isn't to guilt you. This is to actually invite you into the vision of what God has dreamt about. And if you feel any pressure from me, shame or guilt, in encouraging you to give more, don't give. Don't do it because of guilt. I have no interest in that, but I have immense interest in inviting you into participating with what God is doing. He's doing something here. And when a waiter in Restoration Hardware can look and go, what's this? It's the evidence that things are taking place. So as we slowly wrap this up, I want you to realize this is not just a few people that need to carry this. We need more and all. There's a phrase called strength in numbers. It's a great phrase. And one of the things that we are doing our best to facilitate is that what we do here on Sundays, what we do throughout the week, what we do throughout the month and the years, is that it's sustainable. And one of the challenges and dynamics is you have activities and things that happen that are actually impacting the lives of people. And the challenge is a few people contribute and they burn out. And so this is one of the reasons why you hear us say things like this, like we would love for you to consider contributing once a month somewhere in our environment. Not every week, every time, because that's not sustainable. But what's sustainable is when strength in numbers, when people say, you know what, I can give one time a month. And I look around this room, many of you are already doing that. This is not to guilt you or shame you. I want to invite you again, remind you of the vision and why we are, and what we're trying to accomplish, and what God has put on our hearts, which means all of us. So strength in numbers. So I want to just ask again, for those of you out there, no matter if this is a place of getting healed or a place with incredible vision, what this place means to you, I want to let you know that for us to be sustainable, it actually requires more ownership. More ownership, because our goal is that we build a rhythm that's healthy and whole and it's sustainable. So I want to invite you into that today. You may be here for rest. You may be here for renewal. You might be here for friendship. But you're also a part of a people that believe God has a hopeful future. So this is who we are. This is why we are, and this is what we are. People that are committed to God, committed to each other, and committed to seeing the kingdom advance in humanity. So today, I just wanted to share my heart, just be more coming from my heart. I'm excited about what's happened. I'm really excited about what's taking place right now, and I'm even more excited about what's coming. And together, with strength in numbers, with pride in who we are, and the joy of generosity in every area of our life, we will keep building this place that we call Studio, and it's our home. So why don't we stand?
Thanks for listening to today's talk. If you're interested in learning more about Studio here in Greenville, you can go check out our website, studiogreenville.com, and you can give us a follow on Instagram. Our handle is studio.greenville. Have a great week.